Joining us today on Medical Progress Today's Innovative Ideas podcast is Dr. David Graetzer, a physician in private practice and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. David, thanks for coming on the program today.
A pleasure as always, Paul.
David, let me start off with a very obvious, perhaps blindingly obvious question, which is, why should market-oriented conservatives care about obesity? Isn't this a decision that's just between a person and their chef, their refrigerator? What is it about obesity that should make it a public policy issue that conservatives should care about?
Well, Paul, we've spent more than a year talking about healthcare in the United States, and the president has managed to push through sweeping legislation through the House and the Senate and signed it into law. But at the end of the day, I don't think that there's really any evidence that anyone's going to be healthier for the approach. And increasingly, what we need to focus on is health and not just health care. And obesity is a great example of why we want to do that. Let me emphasize here that simply from a health care point of view and a health point of view, we should be concerned about obesity. Certainly, the number of hospitalizations that we've seen amongst young people has almost doubled in recent years because of childhood obesity becoming so commonplace. But this is far more than just an issue about health. Certainly, it's a fiscal issue. Obesity is a leading cause of health inflation in the United States. As you know, in one study, obesity is estimated to drive 47% of the per capita increase in Medicaid spending. Hey, it's even, I'd argue, an issue of defense, national defense. A record number of volunteers for Iraq and Afghanistan for our services have been disqualified as a result of poor conditioning. So, look, I'm about as libertarian as you can get. As you know, I was friends with Milton Friedman. I've written an entire book explaining why American healthcare would be so much better if we had a market focus. And I'm certainly willing to concede that there's no place for Uncle Sam in the kitchens of America. All that being said, I can't help but feel that government policies are undermining our health and causing obesity to be worse, particularly government subsidies. And I also think that there's an argument to be made for personal responsibility here, and I think that's very important. And that's also, by the way, why I think the First Lady has done such excellent work with regard to obesity and childhood obesity in particular.
Let's talk about that for a moment. First Lady Michelle Obama, a committee that is chaired by her, released a report this week on childhood obesity. Her initiative is called Let's Move, and I think you have a relatively positive appraisal of her efforts in this area and the suggestions in her report.
Right. First of all, I'd point out it was a bipartisan effort. Former Senate Majority Bill Frist is the vice chair of the committee. I think that they took a very reasoned and rational approach. And first of all, I praise them simply for taking on the issue and observing that obesity is a major problem in the United States. Again, one in three children now qualify as being obese, historically the highest percentage ever amongst the American people, and frankly, unacceptably high. So, good news, even if I disagreed with the entirety of the report, that they're willing to focus on a legitimate issue. I also think that they were pretty straightforward in what they came up with. The First Lady was very clear as an example that she thought that the federal government would have a very limited role in fighting childhood obesity, as she put it. The federal government is, quote, a minor player in a very big approach, end quote. She's emphasized the importance of phys ed in schools and better diets in schools. She's emphasized the importance of people just having dinner with their kids on a more regular basis. So despite some of the very sharp criticism she's received by some conservatives like Mona Sharon and others, the pages of National Review Online, I think this is a reasonable report. I don't agree with all of it, but I think it's the start of a conversation on what are we going to do with a public health problem that frankly didn't exist 30 years ago.
You spoke a moment ago about government policies that actually encourage obesity. Could you talk about that for a moment?
Well, let's start with the fact that we in part pay to have bad food in our supermarkets and in school cafeterias. The United States spends about $20 billion a year on agricultural subsidies, overwhelmingly towards corn, which is used as a cheap sweetener for everything from Coca-Cola to Crunch Toast and breakfast cereal. So, as a libertarian, I would suggest to you that the federal government ought to stop subsidizing agriculture in general, but particularly things that end up making us less healthy. I mean, we consume far too much sugar. One of the reasons why we're heavier than we were 40 years ago is that our calorie intake is about 40-50% higher, in large part because of fructose has really just crept up into the diet. Our consumption of pop has increased so dramatically. So, again, this isn't about, Uncle Sam deciding what food is good for you and what isn't. It's about Uncle Sam not paying for us to eat bad foods.
And what would be some of the other suggestions that you'd make to First Lady Obama and others who are concerned about obesity that weren't in her report?
Well, she's right on the money in suggesting that food served in school cafeterias isn't very healthful. She's also right in targeting federally sponsored school lunch programs. Where I disagree with her is her final recommendation. She suggests that refurbish the nutrition guidelines, maybe even spend more money on school lunch programs, and that would better them. I don't totally disagree with that, but rather than trying to get the federal government to fix a federal government program that doesn't work particularly well, I would devolve this over to state governments, not unlike welfare, which was done 20 years ago, and let state governments experiment. Again, I think there needs to be an acknowledgement that school lunch programs pay for too much junk food, not enough quality food, but I would leave that up to the state because they're more accountable to people. A couple of other ideas that weren't in the report, I think we ought to encourage employees to be healthier. Here's the good news. Many large corporations have already begun innovating with wellness programs. Safeway is a case in point, where they literally give bonuses to people who make healthful decisions like stopping smoking, losing weight. Yet most non-self-insured employers just can't have the sort of premium difference that a large self-insured corporation can. With non-technical jargon, difficult for companies outside the largest in America to have proper wellness programs. There's a little bit of change with the Obamacare legislation that passed in March, but not enough. And again, I'd give employers more flexibility to do the sorts of changes that companies like Safeway have already done. Finally, I would say let's stop rewarding reckless behavior. No one is going to argue that the welfare mother responsible, no one wants to make the welfare mother responsible for a genetic predisposition to cancer. All that being said, we know that there are many good choices and bad choices in people's behavior that can influence their health. And I think if people are going to be on Medicaid, we ought to reward good decisions and punish bad decisions, not unlike, for instance, the way large corporations like Safeway have. So again, I think these are some small things we can do to make America a healthier place. And I think ultimately that would rein in health costs much more than the $1 trillion legislation that the president signed into law in March.
And we talked about this for just a second or two earlier. Obviously, culture plays an enormous role in our eating habits. How can we bring culture to bear on this problem to reinforce mores of personal responsibility in our eating habits and help to correct this problem the way it has to some extent for, say, teen pregnancy or divorce rates and other areas where it seems to have been effective?
Yeah, culture is a funny thing. Culture changes with time, and cultural perceptions change with time. One of the most interesting aspects of obesity comes from the Farmingham study, which, as you know, started in the 1950s and looks at cardiac risk factors and a variety of other things by studying a fairly small group within the United States, one small town, to be more specific. One of the biggest risk factors they've discovered for obesity is actually whether or not your social circle is obese. In fact, it doesn't even have to be a social circle that's particularly nearby. It's not like your best friend, the next door neighbor. It can be your cousin in Alabama or your niece in California. And if they're obese, your perception of your own body weight really changes, and you tend to be more accepting of obesity. So I think there's a huge cultural component here. Again, I think it's important not to simplify, and there are many factors that have taken place and changed over the last number of decades that have contributed to obesity being such a problem. But look, Farmingham and other studies do suggest that there's a cultural component. And as a result, I think it's important for us to point that out and point out that it's not helpful to be so heavy. It's not helpful that one in three kids are so heavy. And I think there's some cultural changes we could implement, not necessarily through government, but just through people speaking out. I mean, not that long ago in the 1970s, we had the attitude that divorce is completely neutral from the point of view of children, the point of view of doing what's right for your kids. Psychologists spoke out and social workers spoke out, and the divorce rate has slowly come down. I think one has seen changes as well with abortion rights. Now, you might be pro-life, you might be pro-choice, but I think we can all agree there's a problem when one in four, one in five pregnancies end in abortion, as was the case in the 1980s. And we have church leaders speak out about it. And again, abortion is still legal, it's just less common. So I think with regard to obesity, in a sense, we've not spoken out, particularly doctors have not spoken out about health consequences, and it's become acceptable. And as a result, it's more commonplace, and perhaps that's the most important thing. Study after study after study suggested the same thing, Paul. Parents who have dinner with their kids are less likely to be raising obese children. For all of these talk about agricultural subsidies and the like, that's important too. most important thing we could do in order to temper childhood obesity is for us to spend more time with our kids and have more dinners with our children.
Well, that's a terrific note to end on. Some very interesting ideas for helping to slow the rate of obesity and certainly encourage healthier behaviors in our children. David, thanks very much for your time.
The pleasure is always, Paul.